Well, for this very important contest out here this afternoon at Dodger Stadium, the lineup for the visiting Giants leading off and playing at second base will be Chuck Hiller. Chuck Hiller batting in the number one spot and playing at second base. Jimmy Davenport batting number two, playing at third base. Willie Mays in center field batting number three. Willie McCovey in left field hitting in the fourth position. Orlando Cepeda batting number five, playing at first base. Felipe Alou in right field. He is hitting number six. Tom Haller doing the catching, batting seven. Jose Pagan batting eight and playing shortstop. And Jack Sanford will be doing the pitching. So that's the starting lineup for the Jack Sanford will be the starting pitcher. 24-7. Jack has 1-2 and lost one with the Dodgers this season. It's 14-7 on his lifetime. And this will be his fifth start against Los Angeles this year. He's 1-1 in Dodgers Stadium. He lost to them May 22nd, 5-1. Beat them once in Candlestick Park, 10-3 on July 7th. Here on September 3rd, 7-3, and that was his 20th win. His last start, he beat Houston 11-5. That was the 29th of September. He went 5 1/3 innings, giving up 5 runs on 8 hits. He walked 5. For the first time, failed to strike out a batter. Won more games than any Giant pitcher since Carl Hubble won 26 back in 1936. And he can't equal that mark, but he can come close to it with a victory out here today as he is 24-7. For the Los Angeles Dodgers, leading off and playing shortstop, Maury Wills. Jim Gilliam is batting in the number two position, playing second base. Duke Snider in left field, batting number three. Tommy Davis playing third base and hitting in the number four spot. Wally Moon is playing at first base, batting fifth. Frank Howard hitting number six and playing in right field. John Roseborough doing the catching and batting seventh. And playing in center field, hitting number eight, is Willie Davis. Pitching and batting ninth, Don Drysdale. So Drysdale with a 25-9 record. And a 3-1 record against the Giants this year. He's 20-14 lifetime against them. More lifetime wins against the Giants than against any other National League club. Has two complete games and five starts versus the Giants. A 1-0 record in two starts versus the Giants here. That was an 11-1 victory. This is his first start against Jack Sanford for the first time that the two hard-throwing right-handers oppose each other. The umpires for today's game talking now with Duke Snider and Whitey Lockman at home plate. It'll be Al Varlick behind the plate. Dusty Bodges at first base. Augie Donatelli at second. And Jocko Conlon at third. Giants on the regular season, 1-3 and lost 6 against the Dodgers here at Dodger Stadium. The three they won came in the final four-game series with the Dodgers when they took 3 out of 4 and got right back into the pennant race. Giants now with a record of 102 wins, 61 losses. The Dodgers 101 wins and 62 losses. Giants out in front of the Dodgers for first time since, I can't remember when, back in early July sometime when the Dodgers took over first place, and the Giants yesterday, by virtue of their win, moved out in front for the first time. So the Giants hoping to wrap it up in this second game, the Dodgers wanting to hang on with grim determination and to run it to the final day. As manager Walt Olson said, the only way that we can win it now is to go on a two-game winning streak. The Giants trying to prevent that today, battling one of their old nemesis, Don Drysdale, and Jack Sanford having his greatest season, the man that manager Alvin Dark has called on to wrap it up. Jack, who won his 20th down here the last time that the Dodgers and Giants met, had great stuff in that ball game, and if he can bring that back with him today, then the Giants have got a real shot at it. Jack warming up to our right in front of the Giant dugout, Drysdale to our left. Ball game delayed slightly. The umpires now taking their position. And right now, we're going to have the playing of the national anthem. Sanford still completing their warm-up, not yet ready to go. The Dodgers have not taken the field as yet. Al Barlick behind the plate. Josh O'Connell heads for third base, looks in the Dodger dugout. Augie Donatelli at second. Dusty Bodges at first. And the fans here, sort of hard to tell the crowd. I would say somewhere probably around 25,000. 25 to 30 possibly on hand right now. More people coming in. And very warm afternoon in Los Angeles as the Dodgers take the field. Defensively in the outfield, Duke Snider in left, Willie Davis in center, Frank Howard in right. In the infield, Tommy Davis at third, Maury Wills at short, Jim Gilliam at second, Wally Moon at first, Donnie Roseboro doing the catching, and Don Drysdale the pitching. Don Drysdale working with 2 days rest, his fourth start in 9 days. And the way he's firing the ball in there, it doesn't look like it's bothered him too much. For the Giants, in the top of the second, McCovey, Cepeda, and Billy Ballou against the offerings of Don Drysdale. Jack Sanford struck out the side in the top half of the first inning. Willie McCovey standing off to the side. McCovey, the fellow who has been known to cause Don Drysdale a little trouble, is up there at the plate. In the first inning, Miller struck out, Davenport fouled out, and Mays flied to the wall in center field. The first pitch is inside to McCovey for ball one. That's hand batting stretch up here with the outfield deep and around to the right. Drysdale winds again. The next pitch, outside, ball two, a let-up. Drysdale giving McCovey a little bit of an off-speed pitch. 2-0 count to Willie. And Drysdale ready, the 2-0 pitch. Swung on, bounded to first base, and Wally Moon fields it. McCovey's out of there. So that's out number one, and Orlando Cepeda will come up, and I imagine that Don Drysdale took a deep stride. Right here, let's pause for station identification. This is the Golden West Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is Don Sherwood. If you're a little rusty with your Spanish lessons, listen to me on
KSFO in San Francisco.
Here's Orlando Cepeda waiting, and it's called strike one. Breaking pitch over on the outside. Drysdale delivers the next one. One on a miss, strike two. Nothing in two to Cepeda. Orlando with a batting mark of 307. Had a home run in yesterday's game. And the 0-2 pitch. Fouled off into the upper deck to the right. Count stays at 0-2. Nothing in two. One down. Base is empty. Top of the second. Giants and Dodgers, nothing. Drysdale goes to the Rosenberg. The outfield's very deep against the Cepeda and almost straight away. Drysdale winds, and the next pitch. Line drive. Base hit into left center field. Going over for it is Snider. Cepeda takes the turn and holds on as Snider fires in. The Giants had their first hit. The ball gets away from second base. Cepeda started to go to second, but when Wally Moon moved over to field it, Orlando came back to first. That'll bring up Felipe Ballou. Sitting beside us, St. Louis Cardinal announcer Harry Carey. And Harry, one observation. I don't think I've ever seen two pitchers throw this hard in the same ballgame.
They're both very sharp and both have real good stuff. This can be a tough ballgame for either team to win, Lon.
Don Drysdale now set to pitch to Alou. Felipe up here had a double in the first inning of yesterday's game. Waits for Drysdale's first pitch. Swings, lines of base, hit into right center field. That one may go between him. Davis chasing it. It's going to the wall. Cepeda around third. He's coming for the plate. And the relay will not be coming in. Alou has him drop a double. The Giants lead it 1-0. Felipe Palou cracked a curving liner into right center field that rolled all the way to the wall at the 390-foot mark. Zepeda digging around the bases. Came in to score. The Giants lead by 1-0, and Tom Haller will be the batter. So Felipe Palou drives in his 98th run of the year. Haller up here, swinging left-handed against the offerings of Drysdale, hitting at 262. 18 home runs. He's had three home runs here at Dodger Stadium. Now they're going to throw over to first base, I believe. No, they're going to put Haller on. I thought Drysdale was going to question whether Lou had stepped on first or not, but they're going to walk Tom Haller. Ball one outside. There's ball two. Drysdale pitching from the stretch with Lou at second. Delivers ball three. And the stretch again. Ball four. So Haller, given the intentional pass, he goes to first, and Jose Pagan will be the batter. So Jose Pagan, hitting at 253, has driven in 57 runs on the year. Drove in two yesterday with a double. The outfield straight away and medium deep. Duke Snider fairly deep in left, but Willie Davis and Frank Howard in center and right, playing quite a bit more shallow. Palou at second, Haller at first. Stretch by Drysdale for the pitch to Pagan. Inside, almost hit him in the knee. Ball one. One and nothing count to Jose Pagan. Runners at first and second, one out. A run in. The Giants lead 1-0 here in the top of inning number two. Single by Cepeda, double by Palou after one was out. Drysdale into his stretch for the pitch to Pagan. Popped up to the infield. Wills calling for it as the infield fly is called, and he makes the catch for out number two. The runner's holding on. So with two down, it'll bring up Jack Sanford. So Jack Sanford comes to the plate with Palou at second, Tom Haller at first, a run in. Sanford looks now at Whitey Lockman to see if anything has been put on. With two outs here, he'll be called on probably to swing away. Although, with Tommy Davis playing as deep as he is at third, Jack would have an opportunity to try to drop one down and beat it up. Here's Drysdale's stretch in the pitch, low for a ball, 1-0. One ball, no strike. Outfield medium deep against Sanford, although Frank Howard is playing pretty shallow in right field for Jack. Sanford gets a hold of an outside fastball. He could put it over Howard's head. There's the stretch and the next pitch. Low, ball two. 2-0. Two balls and no strikes to Jack Sanford. 2-0 count, two outs. Felipe Palou at second, Tom Haller at first, a run in. Drysdale going to the rosin bag. Jack Sanford calmly waiting at the plate. Runners getting their lead as Drysdale stretches. 2-0 pitch. Slight foul into the stands to the right. That one rebounds all the way back out onto the playing area. Or Dusty Bodges, the first base umpire, fields it. So the count is 2-1. Sanford took sort of a half swing on an inside fastball. 2-1 count to Jack batting in the top of the second. The Giants lead 1-0. John Roseboro with a sign. Palou getting his lead at second. Haller from first as Drysdale takes the stretch. 2-1 pitch. Strike two calls. And it's 2-2. Good fastball at the knees. 2-2 count to Sanford. Time is called now as the baseball is back behind home plate. 2-2 to Sanford. Two outs. Palou at second, Haller at first, a run in. After McCovey grounded out, Cepeda singled to left center. Palou doubled to right center to score Cepeda. Then Haller was intentionally walked. Pagan popped out. 2-2 pitch, foul back by Sanford. And it stays at 2-2. Two-two count to Jack Sanford. Jack had three home runs last year. Got a hit at the first piece of the for to hit one out here. Willie Mays in the first inning gave one a 410-foot ride to the wall in center, and Willie Davis made the catch. Maury Wills now has moved well over by second base, leaving a big gap in the hole to the left. Stretch for the 2-2 pitch. Strike three call. Manfred Fitz. So here in the second, one run, two hits, no errors, two runners left on. We go to the bottom of the second, and the Giants lead it by a score of 1-0. Just wait till you try your first dual filter turret, and you light up and you know this one's got it. Turret and flavor you never thought you'd get from any filter cigarette. So why be hungry for flavor when all the pleasure you could ask for is waiting for you in your first pack of Turret? In Turret, you get quality tobaccos at the peak. You get the remarkable dual filter with activated charcoal that brings through the best flavor of these choice tobaccos. The result, flavor you never thought you'd get from any filter cigarette. Try Turret and you'll never be hungry for flavor again. Manager Alvin Dark is out to talk to home plate umpire Al Bollock. They're discussing something, not heatedly, but talking the situation over. Dark now drops back to the Giant dugout. As Jack Sanford comes out to loosen up, he'll pitch to Wally Moon, Frank Howard, and Johnny Roseboro. The two quick shots by the Giants, the Pedder reaching out for an outside pitch, lined a single in the left center, and then Alou cracked one into right center for a double. Who scores the pitch, and the Giants have a 1-0 advantage as Sanford comes out to pitch the bottom of the second.
There's the time out, Matt.
No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on, and at the end of 5 full innings of play, the San Francisco Giants are leading by a score of 1-0. They will send up Philly Palou, who has had 2 out of 2, Tom Howard, and Jose Pagan. In the second inning, after McCovey had grounded out, Cepeda singled the left field, and Philippe Alou hit one that he really used the radar on, a beautiful line drive, but just in between Willie Davis and Frank Howard, they're over the wall, and Rolando Cepeda scored. And that's the only scoring the Giants have done, although they've had runners on the bases in every inning but the first inning. Miller was hit by a pitch in the third, and McCovey walked with two down, but Cepeda flied out. Then in the fourth, Alou and Pagan singled, but Drysdale struck out Hiller. Then in the fifth, a base on ball from McCovey was the only thing the Giants could do in the attack line. They have had 7 base runners. The Dodgers have had 4, with the Giants leading by a score of 1-0. Philippe Alou, ready to come up to swing the bat. As we move to the top of inning number 6, with the Giants leading the Dodgers 1-0. Drysdale to Rosenberg with the outfielders playing Alou straight away. Many of his 25 home runs were hit to straightaway center on the year. Drysdale looks over the Giants right fielder. Into the windup, the pitch to Philippe, a curveball on the inside across strike. Tom Haller, who hit one a long way to left field his last time, is in the on-deck circle. One strike to count as Don Drysdale looks over Philippe Alou, delivers again. There's a swing and a foul. The ball dropped by Johnny Roseboro. Strike two. Philippe almost lost his helmet that time. The hill of the Rosenberg. Alou moving a bit more in towards the plate now on this two-strike count. Holds the bat high. Drysdale throws, and Philippe swings and misses strike three. Number 4 for Drysdale, the Giant batter, Tom Haller, who has walked and flied out to left field. One away on the top of the 6th. Here's Drysdale's next pitch now to Haller. A let-up just over the outside corner for a called strike. One strike to number 5, Haller. Don pumps and throws again. Haller swings and laces a line drive foul down the right field line. Wally Moon at first base charging across the line, but he could not get the glove on the ball.
Two strikes to count to Tom Holler. As Drysdale gets the sign now from John Roseburg. Straight away and deep defense against Holler. The Dodgers have a lot of respect for Tommy. He hurts him with that long ball. Here's the two-strike pitch. High and inside. Holler had to fade out of there in a hurry. That one was up near Chinsville. And the 1-2 pitch for Drysdale on the way. Wines throws. Holler takes high and away. It's ball two and strike two. Snyder, who caught Haller's long drive in left field, is playing him in the same direction this time. And the center fielder and right fielder, Willie Davis and Frank Howard, are playing him just straight away. And the big boy from the University of Illinois waiting. Drysdale pitch to Haller. A check swing. And it's ball three. Too high. And Drysdale, cast an appealing look at Jocko Conlon at third base, hoping he would overrule Al Bartlett. Bartlett was firm with the fact that it's the ball 4-3 and 2. Three balls, two strikes. We're in the top of the sixth inning. The count to Haller has gone to 3-2, and the Giants lead 1-0 with the bases empty. There's one out. Drysdale looking down the alley now to get the sign from Roseboro. Into his windup. The big fella rears back and throws inside to Haller. And Haller shot to first base with a base on balls. The fourth off John Drysdale. And Jose Pagan, who has popped it short and singled the deep shortstop, will be up here for the Giants. Pagan at 253 with 57 runs batted in. And one of his seven home runs was hit here at Dodger Stadium. Hit it way out there between the 390 and the 410 markers in deep left center. Although Jose is the first to admit that the home run ball is not the way he makes his living. He makes it with that fine glove and arm that he has at shortstop. Tom Haller at first with one out. Here's Drysdale set. Pagan fouls it off on the hit and run play as Haller was going. Hey, I know that you broadcast a lot of football over around here. Illinois and Missouri. Did you ever see Tommy play football at Illinois?
No, I didn't. I heard a lot about him. I was doing Missouri University games when he was at the University of Illinois. He's quite a kid. He's had a chance to be one of the outstanding catchers, I guess, Russ. He looks like he's going to be around a long time.
Come a long way this year. The count is strike one to Jose Pagan with Tommy Haller at first base and Don Drysdale ready. The next delivery to Jose. Bounded down the third baseline. Base hit. Heading toward the left field corner. Snyder is over there to pick it up. Haller comes around to third, holding at second with a double as Pagan as the throw comes in, and the Giants have runners at second and third. Jose Pagan bounding one that walked that chalk line down the left field line, and that will bring up Jack Sanford.
You know, that's one of the best kept secrets around the league. I know your San Francisco fans have been well informed. Is that you strengthen the catching department. Between Haller and Bailey, I guess you must have 35, 36 home runs and 100 RBIs between them.
Well, you hit the home runs right on the nose, 35, Harry. Then Bailey has 44 runs batted in. Haller, 56. That's 100. That's two. No matter whom Alvin sits in there, and then on occasions, he's put in Tony Orsino, a right-handed batter who can help it.
Anytime you get your catching department, you ask that much, particularly that long ball hitting, you're in pretty good shape.
A conference on the mound. Waller Alston out to talk to Don Drysdale. And Wally Moon came over to get in the conference. Tommy Davis. And the conference is about ready to break up. You know, since the Folgers Coffee Company pays more money for a premium mountain-grown coffee bean, you'd think their coffee would be more expensive, but it is not. So in a situation where Alvin Dark can make up his mind two ways, he can have Sanford swing away because he's got the top of the order coming up next with only one out. Or he might elect to have Jack attempt to squeeze bunt. But with the infield playing in the way it is, that's going to be difficult. But we'll see what happens. Sanford has struck out and forced a runner. Haller down the line at third. Pagan from second. Giants lead 1-0. The pitch to Sanford. A low curveball outside for ball one. Now, for the first time today, activity in the Dodger bullpen. We can see Peronofsky throwing down there. We can't see the other fellow, but it's more than likely Ed Roebuck.
They're way in on the right side of the infield. Maury Wills, fairly deep at shortstop. Drysdale ready, throws to Sanford. A slider, good for a foul strike on the inside, and it's 1-1. Sanford has not indicated at any time that he's had the bunt sign. He looks down to Whitey Lockman again. The Giants have had the scoring opportunities today. They've had four bases on balls and five hits. Dodgers in on the right side of the infield, very shallow. Tommy Davis right at third base with Tom Hallett. Don Drysdale ready. Pitch to Sanford, taken outside for a ball two, and again, Jack is going to swing. He did not have seen the bunting stand. The greatest play in baseball can be the most beautiful thing in the world, or you can look so darn silly. It doesn't work. Drysdale from the stretch, not winding up. Throws to Sanford. He tries to bunt it and fouls it off. They were sending Haller with Pagan going to third. Sanford bunted his foul down the first base line, and the count is 2-2. One down. Hiller in the on deck circle. Mighty big run to pick up, Russ. A tremendously big run, Harry, because that could shackle the Dodgers' speed a bit. And could also take the sacrifice play away from them, too, at this stage of the game, with the Giants leading 1-0. Haller, just a couple of feet away from third base as Don Drysdale looks in again. The big right-hander ready as Sanford waits. Pitch to Sanford, swung on, foul back. He lost his grip on the bat, and it rolls out to the mound. You can tell that Jack's been in the ballgame. He's showing the perspiration through his sweatshirt and through his uniform shirt. He didn't get much of that one, but he wanted to stay alive up there, just trying to meet the ball and hit it someplace and trust that the ball could go through. The Giants ahead by 1-0 on a single by Cepeda and a double by Lou. In this inning now, after a Lou struck out, Haller walked and Pagan doubled into third. Sanford, up here with a count of 2-2, has fouled off two as he attempted to squeeze once and the next time swinging. So it's two balls and two strikes as Don Drysdale looks in for the sign from Roseboro. The big right-hander sets and gets ready to deliver. Sanford bunts it back to Drysdale, who throws, cannot throw to the plate. All hands are safe. Tommy Haller scores as Drysdale falls down. Sanford beats it out. And Pagan is on at third, and the Giants lead 2-0. The two-strike squeeze. Well, hey, that one bounced right.
Boy, that's daring baseball, marvelous baseball, Russ. Everything is what it works, but certainly picked a good pitch. It was right down there where he could handle it. And you notice where Sanford's bat rolled? I think that Drysdale was a little bit distracted by the bat and trying to field the ball.
And for some reason or other, even though Drysdale fell down, they have scored it as an error. Now Wally Moon takes time to come over and talk to Don, with Pagan down at third. Even though it was scored as an error, Sanford will get a run batted in. Sanford also will get a sacrifice on that. Now Tommy Davis comes over to talk to Don Bryant, who was just hit at the top of the order. Chuck's a good butter, and it could happen again, although since he swings the bat there, well, they might want him to be swinging. Sanford at first, Pagan at third, the Giants leading, 2-0. Drysdale looking in to get his sign from John Roseboro. Working from the stretch, the runner's ready to go. Mr. Hill is swung on and lined into short right field. Frank Howard comes charging in at the base in front of him, and Pagan comes in to score. Sanford stops his track. And the Giants lead 3-0. Pagan was holding at third, waiting to see where that ball was going to go. And as soon as he saw it hit the ground, he took off. And Stewart to make it 3-0 for San Francisco, and to bring up the Giant third baseman, Jimmy Davenport.
And a happy-looking Giant dugout at the moment, Russ, as you notice.
You bet it is. They start to smell that money now.
What a difference a few days can make, huh?
And a few days did that. Davenport's a Giant batter now, with Sanford at second and Hiller at first, with the Giants leading 3-0.
Drysdale ready, throws to Davenport. Swing, line drive to Bestia for a base hit. Sanford coming around third. Here comes Big Snyder's throw. Into the plate, Jack Sanford slides, he scores. The Giants lead 4-0. Harry, one thing about it. Throughout the season, Jack has had difficulty. After he has done a lot of running, as he has in this inning, he has faded a bit in the stretch a couple of times. So you can see that Mays, the next Giant batter, is not coming up to the plate. He goes back to change the bat. Those extra few gulps of air are a good one for a while.
Yeah, he's had a tough round on those bases at that. And he can use a little bit of a breather here. And maybe the Dodgers might participate in that because they may have to change pitches. Here's Walt Austin at the top of the dugout.
The reason he was up there is Tommy Davis that called for the ball at third. Here comes Leo, and there probably is going to be a pitching change. Billy O'Dell is trotting down to the Giant bullpen so that the Giants will have some left-handed relief if necessary. The reason Austin has come out, Harry, was Tommy Davis had called for the ball at third, going to claim that Sanford had missed the bag, but Josh O'Connor waving away.
We lost the game in the Polo Grounds this year on a play like that, by the way. We're talking about Sanford perhaps being a little bit winded here. I think that you fellas could gamble your chances on his losing a little bit of stuff of those three additional runs in this inning, wouldn't you?
Well, I'm sure they would, because the Giants have well-rested pitchers, and for that reason, you can see activity in the Giant bullpen right now. Billy O'Dell is starting to throw. We'll pause here for station identification. This is the Golden West Radio Network.
Calling you, reminding you from Labrador to Latin America, KSFO reporters always have the real story. For the best news, it's
KSFO in San Francisco.
This is Russ Hodges along with Harry Carey on Dodger Stadium. There will be a pitching change. Drysdale, pitching with only 2 days of rest, will be removed from the game. And Ed Roebuck, who has to have the nomination for the rubber arm of the year, walks in. Ed, who pitched very well yesterday in blanking the Giants for four innings, has won 10 while losing one, and he has 8 saves. Let's reconstruct this sixth inning. Hey, what would you say was the big play of this sixth inning here?
Oh, I think there's no doubt about it, Russ, as you very well know, and that's Sanford's two-strike squeeze play on a 2-2 pitch. Not only the fact that he bunted the ball fair, you know, quite frequently, seen that play tried in that situation, yeah, but usually fouled into a strikeout, but the fact that he was able to bump the ball in a good position, and besides, had the good fortune of having his bat out there somewhere, too.
That's right, that helped out. Felipe Palou struck out. Here's a big hand for Drysdale, and this fellow certainly deserves it. Naturally, he is not the happiest individual in the world as he heads over to the clubhouse along with Coach Leo DeRocher. DeRocher pats him on the back as he disappears into the dugout, and Walter Olsen applauds him also. Palou struck out, but then the Giants started to roll as, and on break, as Haller got a base on balls, Jose Pagan bounced one to third base. Had it come down into the glove of Tommy Davis, it could have been a double play. But it was just over his head to roll down the left field line. Fielded by Duke Snyder. Haller went to third and Pagan to second. Then Jack Sanford tried to bunt once with a 2-1 count and fouled it off. Swung the next time to keep the count at 2-2. Then the next time, bunted one back toward the mound. Drysdale fell down. Had no play as Haller scored. And Sanford faced it first with Pagan going to third. Miller dropped a single in front of Frank Howard in right field with Pagan scoring and Sanford going to second. Then Davenport hit a sharp single over third base into left field. Sanford scored from second with Hiller holding on at second. And now Ed Roebuck is in the pitch to Willie Mays. He has flied to center twice and fouled out. The Giants with runners at first and second, leading 4-0. Steve Miller and Billy O'Dell throw for the Giants. As Alvin has a flock of fellas he can use today if he wants to without using Maristel, who will be his starter tomorrow as needed. So Roebuck is ready to pitch to Willie Mays. Two runners set to go. The pitch to Will. It's a pitch out. He'll throw to first base. Davenport barely back in. Wally Moon has set up the play between the pitcher, the catcher, and Wally Moon. Dusty Dodges now calls for timeout. And Davenport says he's ready to play. One ball, no strikes to Mays. He's not a good man to pitch out against because you get yourself behind on the count. The sinker ball expert, Roebuck, throws. Mays swings and takes the pitchers inside for ball two. 2-0.
getting me, too. I said he swings. He didn't come close to swinging at it.
Hiller is the second. Davenport is at first. The Giants lead 4-0. Roebuck delivers inside to Mays. On a count of 3 balls and no strikes. Somebody just kicked over a chair.
He's a premature celebrant.
He just tripped a little bit, I guess.
They count 3-0 to Mays, and he looked to see if he should be swinging.
Roebuck delivers to Willie Mays, a curveball called strike, and it's 3-1. Mays usually tries to hit Roebuck to right field, but in this situation, he might try to get the bundle. Davenport at first, Chuck Hiller is at second. The count to Willie Mays, 3-1, and he has the timeout now. Mays has played the center field twice and fouled out. He was yesterday's big gun with 3 hits and a pair of homers. Now Roebuck wipes the perspiration off his forehead. William has moved over very close to second base. Howard in right center, giving Mays all of the right field line. Ed Roebuck ready. 3-1 pitch to Willie Mays. Swung on, bounded deep to third base. Tommy Davis juggles, but goes to second in time for the fourth out. Mays at first, with Willer coming down to third, and Willie McCovey to swing the bat. In a rush, I can't get over the emotional impact in baseball. A week or so ago, or several days ago, when we saw the Giants, they looked so down and out. Now you wouldn't know it's the same ball club. This looks like the Giant ball club, but well, a little early in the season.
Yeah, they seem to be on their toes, taking advantage of every break they can get today.
Willie McCovey will be the batter. He has grounded the first and walked twice, and Roseburg and Roebuck will have a little conference. Mays and Hiller have their lead. Roebuck throws to first. Willie is back in. Now the pitch to McCovey. Low and outside with a sinker ball for ball one. The Dodgers have such a wholesale respect for McCovey that they've walked him twice. They haven't given him anything approaching a good pitch since he grounded out in the second inning. The Giants lead 4-0. Mays at first. Hiller at third. The pitch to Willie McCovey, a swing and a miss on a sinker, and it's 1-1. This is giving Sanford some good rest over there. Eddie Roebuck comes to the set position again. Goes to first base, Willie Mays skips back in. With Mays on and Hiller at third, the Dodgers could be expecting a double steal attempt. Roebuck pitches to McCovey low and inside for ball two. There are two down, runners at first and third. The Giants have scored 3 times to lead, 4-0. Roebuck has gone to the well many a time this year. Here, that Dodger pitching staff for a while. Now, Stutz throws 2-1. McCovey takes strike 2 on the outside corner for knees to run the string for 2 balls and 2 strikes. Number 44, Willie McCovey waiting. Roebuck comes set. Throws 2-2. Well, an outside ball three, so Mays will be running on the pitch. With Orlando Cepeda waiting in the on-back circle to the right of the plate. Ernie Bowman leading his gears from the Giant dugout. Three balls, two strikes to the Giant left-hander, Willie McCovey. And Roebuck is ready. Mays will go. There he goes. McCovey swings. Lines one into right field. They hit. Hiller scores. Mays takes around to third. And now as the ball is juggled with William, Mays broke around third but holds on. 5-0. San Francisco leading. McCovey hitting a bullet. William had shifted over for him, but the ball was just hit three times. The ninth batter will be up for the San Francisco Giants in the person of Orlando Cepeda, who has singled, flied to center, and grounded out to first base.
not much of a defense against the line drive like that, Harry.
Gilliam gave it quite a try, diving for the ball, but couldn't reach it.
The Giants are sitting in pretty good position, I'd say, Russ. Things are looking pretty healthy. Mays at third, McCovey at first, Robot pitches to Cicero. There's a swing and a bounder up the middle, and Gilliam grabs it and tags second base. And McCovey, of course, coming down and inside is retired. So the Giants in the fifth inning have come up with four runs. One, two, three, four hits. There was one Dodger error and two left on. And at the end of five and a half innings, the San Francisco Giants are leading the Dodgers in the second of the playoff series by a score of 5-0. Now with Jack Sanford looking like a fella that could really use himself, a new uniform. He's got mud on it from sliding. He was perspiring, so the dirt turned into mud. He's ready to pitch the bottom of the sixth inning against Jim Gilliam, Duke Snyder, and Tommy Davis. With Bob Bolan now throwing in the Giant bullpen, Sanford throws to Gilliam high for ball one. Bolan and Miller are pitching now and in the bullpen, and Billy O'Bell had done some throwing. As these Dodgers, after 35 scoreless innings, have got to be dangerous. Sanford throws to Gilliam, a fastball that is low for ball two on a count of two balls and no strikes. Don Drysdale has departed. Ed Robach is doing the pitching. All of the Giants scoring off Drysdale. Here's the pitch outside for ball three and no strikes. Alvin Dart comes out immediately.
Because he doesn't look like the same pitcher his first three pitches of this inning. And he did work hard on those bases. It could have taken a lot out of him.
Well, the way he was bearing down all the way certainly has had to take something out of Jack also. And manager Alvin Dark is out there to inquire as to his condition. So Alvin, after a brief conference, walks back to the dugout.
Hey, Russ, does Kemp see any supper like this every day?
Every day? I mean, from opening day on.
Well, he's making a nervous wreck out of me.
It's a big one, Harry. Gilliam now leaning on the bat in the batter's box, waiting for the 3-0 pitch from Jack Sanford. And Sanford's into the windup. The pitch to Gilliam is in there for a call strike at 3-1. Bottom of the sixth inning, the Giants leading 5-0. Here's Sanford's 3-1 pitch to Gilliam, in there for strike two and a count of 3-2. Alvin Mata told him to quit trying to work the corners, just get the ball over and make them get their way on. The 3-2 pitch to Gilliam is high for ball four. He gets the third base on ball. And that will be all for Jack Sanford, I believe, as Alvin is walking out slowly. Now, also, there will be a defensive change, I believe, as we see Matty Alou getting up, which more than likely means the left-hander coming in. Alvin plays that percentage, Harry. He likes to have a very fast outfielder in when a left-hander is pitching, due to the fact that they're more likely to hit that ball to left field. But he has not indicated the left-hander as yet. It's going to be Stu Miller.
Well, you got the lead here, Russ. This ends it if you win it. You can't think about tomorrow. You got to win it here today. This probably never have a better chance.
Alvin Dark is pulling out all the stops. He will put Matty Alou in left field and bring in Stu Miller, who has pitched back to his last season form in his last outing. Despite his record of 5-8, Stu has been in on 13 saves. Four position, and Matty Alou will get in the number nine. Jack Sanford went five splendid innings. Make those notes if you're keeping score. Matty will bat in the number nine position, which means he might bat here
fourth batter. You just can't fault the work of Jack Sanford. He did a tremendous job. He held them down for five innings. He goes into the dugout, gets congratulations from everybody there, and now he'll tough it out in the clubhouse, either on radio or TV.
That's an important five innings he pitched, Rush, because he held the opposition scoreless until you had a chance to build up a lead. In other words, he pitched the most important five innings of this ball game from the way the game is developed.
Particularly against Drysdale. You don't want to have to come from behind against him because he gets tougher as the day goes by. Sanford pitched well enough to get him out of the ball game. And then Alvin has Bob Bowen, Don Larson, and Billy O'Dell that he can use today if he has to without disturbing his starter for tomorrow, Juan Marichal, if they have to have him tomorrow. So Duke Snider will be up to bat against Stu Miller, who will take the number four spot in the batting order, vacated by Willie McKelvey, who has just been relieved. All right, we're set to go. Things far from set for the Senate of 1962. Duke Snider, the batter. On at first base, Jim Gilliam, who makes very good contributions to the Dodgers' cause with those bases on ball. He just got his 92nd. Snider waiting. Miller gets set. He delivers to the Duke. A curveball, a swing on a strike one. Snider has walked and fly deep to left field. Tommy Davis will be the next batter up. And if things wind up today, Tommy has won the batting title by 2 or 3 points over Frank Robinson. Miller steps again. The lead at first for Gilliam. The pitch to the Duke. A high curveball is inside for ball one and strike one. Miller was the winning pitcher Sunday when Mays homered off Farrell in the eighth inning. Miller had come in to pitch the eighth, and he also pitched the ninth without allowing a base runner. His fifth one of the year. Cepeda behind Gilliam at first base as Stu Miller gets set for the one and one delivered to Snider. Miller throws, Duke swings, lines it by. Tommy Davis, as the Dodgers, who have gone 35 innings, are out of score. We'll recap. We understand we had a bit of transmission difficulty. After Gilliam walked, Snider hit the right field line with a double to send Gilliam to third. Tommy Davis, the batter, nobody down. Tommy has struck out and single left. The Giants with the infield back. And Dodger Stadium getting ready to come apart. Miller throws. Tommy takes the fastball. A foul strike. Took about half an inch off the chalk mark on the foul side. Miller throws again. Tommy Davis takes inside for a ball, and the count is one and one. Now it's Bob Bolin and Billy O'Dell throwing for the Giants, who lead 5-0, with Gilliam at third and Snider at second. And here's the windup of Miller for the next pitch to Tommy. Curves him low and outside for ball two and strike one. Bottom of the sixth inning, don't go where, anywhere at all. Now getting set for the 2-1 pitch. Here's Stu's next delivery. The pitch to Tommy Davis, set on drive in the deep center. Mays will make the catch. Gilliam will score. Snider tags and goes to third. Duke Snider at third. A long, high, side-to-side slide of center.
pass to the infield back again. Miller throws to Wally Moon, who ran up to punt the ball, but took it inside for ball one. The Giants lead 5-1. That roar from the crowd sounded as though he hit a grand slam, but they were so happy to see the Dodgers finally break their scoring streak. It was started by Larry Jackson, continued by Ernie Broglio, then Kirk Simmons, then Billy Pierce. Finally, it's broken off Jack Sanford and Miller. Pitch to Moon. A curve is low and inside. Ball two, no strike. Moon, the former Cardinal, who stands deep in the batter's box, the left-handed batter. Miller throws to Wally. There's a curve hit foul down the first base line, bounded by the first base coach, Greg Malavis. Davenport playing wide of third as Moon slices the ball quite often. Matty Alou, the new left fielder, straight away at left. Mays and Philippe Alou in the deep outfield spot as Miller winds and throws 2-1. Hits to Moon, a slow curve is high. Ball three. On the way. Wally takes a fastball. He was taking all the way. It's a 12 strike for 3-2. Three balls, two strikes. Duke Snyder is at third with one out. Miller winds, throws to Wally Moon. His pitch, a curveball, rolled foul down the first baseline. Moon was out in front of that pitch and was barely able to foul it off. Ernie, the Giants bat boy who made the trip down here with the team from San Francisco, fields that one. Sends it back over to the Dodger bat boy. And the Dodgers are showing more bullpen activity because eventually they will probably have to pinch hit for Ed Robart. Tension mounting again as Wally Moon waits on the 3-2 pitch. Here's Miller's windup and delivery. On the way, he still holds up, takes ball four. Here is Dick Freithauer, the home run leader of the Dodgers. The runners at first and third. Allen has walked and lined to center field. This fella can scare you by just showing up at the ball. At first and third with one down. Miller looks over at first. He sets the throw to Howard. A curveball has him swinging. Strike one. Sue used to handle Howard easily, but Howard has been getting more base hits off Sue this year. Miller pitches. Howard takes high on inside. Ball one. Has struck out 106 times, and he has walked 38. He has 117 runs batted in with 31 homers, 6 triples, and 25 doubles. Now with runners at first and third, the Giants lead 5-1. Miller throws to Frank Howard, a curveball that has him swinging, strike two. One ball, two strikes to the biggest ball player around in the big league. And Stu Miller with a sign from Tommy Haller. Moon leads at first. Stu gets set, throws to Frank Howard outside for a ball in the count. It is 2 balls and 2 strikes. You remember that first series here this year when Howard drove in 12 runs against the Giants? Boy, they couldn't do anything with him. Now Miller, calmest person in the place, rubs up the baseball. And it sets to throw 2-2 to Frank Howard. His pitch to Big Frank. A curveball. Miller got that one too high. Coming in to score is Snyder. Runners at first and second with Johnny Rose. ball was, we would have been surprised to see it riding out of here, Harry. Now, it's got to breathe a little life into him.
They were definitely going to do some scoring. Billy O'Dell will come in. Doris Day is leading cheer for the Dodgers down there in her box seat that's adjacent to the Dodger dugout.
I think Doug Camilli coming down the line. I guess he'll be used as a pinch hitter somewhere along the line.
If he was successful yesterday, they might use him as a pinch hitter for Rosa. They could use him as a pinch hitter for Willie Davis, or of course for Ed Roebuck if the Dodgers go that far. Reconstructing the bottom of the sixth inning, Jack Stanford ran out of gas, walked Gilliam, and was taken out with Miller coming in to pitch to Snyder. Snyder hit the right field line with a double, sending Gilliam to third. Tommy Davis went a long sacrifice fly to center field that got the Dodgers' first run home in 35 and a third innings. Then moonwalked. Frank Howard hit a 2-2 pitch to left field. A real screamer that sent Stu Miller out of there and got the Dodgers their second run. Moon went to second and held on. Frank Howard is at first with one out in the bottom of the sixth. The Giants leading 5-2, so what appeared to be for a while as a routine victory means that this is a real tough one now. Camilli is out on the on-deck circle and will bat for Willie Davis, we presume, although now he starts to walk up to the plate. And is probably just going to call some encouragement out to Roper. No, he's going to bat for Roper. This boy from Santa Rosa, California, a fine gentleman and a great catching prospect, is batting 279 on the season. Batted in 22 runs with 4 homers, 2 triples, and 5 doubles. So Camilli will bat for Rosa with Willie Davis in the on-deck circle with Frank Howard at first base and Wally Moon at second. Camilli doubled as in a role of a pinch hitter yesterday off Billy Pierce. Tom Haller had charged over to the Giants dugout to say something to manager Alvin Barr. The son of a former great first baseman of the Dodgers. A great family heritage. Inherited from his pop, Paul Kimberly. A right-handed hitter with Wally Moon at second base and Frank Howard at first. One out. And Odell ready to throw to Camilli. The pitch to Doug is taken inside for ball one. Odell, who picked Sunday, worked 7 fine innings and left with the score tied 1-1 with the Giants, winning it out 2-1. This is his 43rd appearance. He's won 19 while losing 14. The digger, as the Giants call him, ready, throws to Camilli, inside with a curve for ball 2. Bob Bolin and Don Larson loosing for the Giants. But only one away, the Dodgers with their biggest threat of the last week. Staving off, or doing all they can to stave off elimination from the pennant race. Odell throws a curve that pops for a ball three. At first, Wally Moon at second. Odell has not been close with any of these pitches. Now he throws 3-1. The pitch is in there for a foul strike. He threw 3-0 and it's now 3-1. Three balls, one strike. Now the 3-1 pitch. Camilli swings and misses on it. That ball is 3-2. Three balls, two strikes. Camilli saw some service with the Dodgers last year. All right, the two runners ready to go as Odell throws to Camilli and the ball fouls off the mask of Tom Haller. You think think you can't live a long time in one of these situations? Harry, you can be relaxed because you're a disinterested spectator.
Not really, Russ. I'm pulling hard for you.
All right. Count 3-2 to Doug Camilla. Howard at first, Wally Moon at second. Billy O'Dell set, throws a fastball line to right field. Base hit. Wally Moon rounds third. They hold him up. And the bases are loaded as the throw comes through. We'll pause for station identification. This is the Golden West Radio Network.
Confusion, construction, or chaos, I'll guide you through, dear friend. This is Jack Carney on the Commute Club Daily on
KSFO in San Francisco.
The bases are loaded now, and there will be a pinch hitter. Andy Carey will bat for Willie Davis. The Dodgers are pulling out all the stops. Their regular catcher, Johnny Roseborough, and now has taken out their regular center fielder, Willie Davis, and Andy Carey has been announced as the pinch hitter, as manager Alvin Dark is on the top step of the dugout, but has not made a move as yet. Boone stops at third. Howard is at second. Doug Camilli is at first. The Giants lead 5-2, one out in the bottom of the sixth inning, as this Dodger club, sleeping for so long, has suddenly come alive. Andy Carey, a right-handed batter, averages 234. Odell and Carey face each other in the American League. Odell throws to Carey. There's a swing and a foul. Strike one. There is no pinch hitter out on deck for Ed Robach, but the Dodgers still have plenty of them. Dale Spencer, McMullen. The lead by Wally Moon, the pitch by Billy O'Dell. Carey swings and misses, strike two, and he was really setting for the heavy lumber that time. They talk about Drysdale pitching with 2 days of rest. O'Dell pitched 7 sub-innings Sunday. The Giants deep on the infield and outfield, hoping for the double play ball. Moon, Howard, and Camilli ready to go. Odell delivers. Carey takes it outside. A ball for a count of 1-2. This is when the managers start to outthink each other. Here's Odell delivering to the plate. The pitch to Carey swung on and grounded foul. And Leo DeRocher had to do the hop, skip, and jump at third base. People hanging on every pitch in this game was the Giants Radio Network and the Dodger Radio Network, local TV in both San Francisco and Los Angeles and around the country. The 1-2 delivery for Billy O'Dell, the pitch to Andy Carey is fouled back. Carey has been used for spot duty. He's played in, this is his 53rd game. Has a count of 1-2 in an inning that seems to have started last Thursday. The Dodgers have scored twice. They have the bases loaded. And Odell checks with his catcher again as the runners are set to go. Billy into the windup. Pitch to Andy Carey. Low for ball two on count of 2-2. Two balls, 2 strikes, one man away, the Dodgers with the bases loaded, on 2 walks and 3 hits in this inning, with 2 runs already coming in. Now the 2-2 pitch to Andy Carey is inside and almost hit him in the foot. He claims he was hit. He was hit. And Tom Haller is arguing with Al Bonick that the ball did not hit him, but it forces home Wally Moon. The Dodgers will have to make a move as Ed Robach is their lifted batter. And Lee Wall is the sent up to the plate.
Dangerous.
That's why people turn out to see baseball all the time, Harry. They're waiting for the announcement of Lee Rawls and then probably a pitching change for the Giants. Lee Rawls is up to act as a pinch hitter now as the Dodgers have used their third consecutive pinch hitter, and two of them have delivered, with one of them getting a hit and the other one getting hit with a pitch. And with one away in the bottom of the sixth inning, we'll see if manager Dutch is going to make the change. He has Bolin and Larson ready, but he's going to stay with Billy O'Dell against Lee Ball. The Giants lead 5-3. The Dodgers with the tying runners at second and third. The possible lead run at first. And Odell Buck, wait just a moment. Jocko Conlon has taken exception to something and called timeout. We thought he was calling a ball. Oh, they just, the Dodger bench had yelled times as they wanted to put in a runner. DeRocher was yelling ball, but Conlon had called time, and that's why Odell bought. To Lee Walls, misses outside. Walter Alston going to his bench, and he's got a great one. Lee Walls batting for Robot. Larry Burright running for Andy Carey. Howard at third, at second base to Millie, at first Burright. Giants hitting 5-3. And here's the pitch by Billy O'Dell to Lee Walls. The curve is good for the called strike at 1-1. We cannot see into the Dodger bullpen beyond one corner of it. We can see Peronoski throwing down there. Bounce the ball on a strike. Number 7, Walls waiting. And here's the pick by Odell. Walls swings on a curve. Strike 2. This is what you would want to see in a playoff. You'd want to see this kind of action, and the Dodgers are giving it to their fans. This is a real battle for Survivor by the Dodgers, and a real battle for the Giants to take it off. Billy O'Dell on the hill now with a count 1-2, the right-handed batting pinch hitter, Lee Walls, who has played first base and outfield and been used an all-around man. He's also played third. He's batting 262. O'Dell winds and throws to Walls. A curveball hit deep to left center field. That's going to put the Dodgers ahead as the ball bounds off the wall. Burright rounding third on his way to the plate. Here comes the throw. And nobody's at third. And Pagan cannot tag out Walls to his face. And the Dodgers lead 6-5.
Field fence with a two-base hit off
Billy O'Dell. It's empty, the bases of the three that were on there. Walls is on third with one down, and Don Larson makes the long walk from the Giant bullpen. The Dodgers have scored six times to wipe out a Giant lead at the start of the inning at 5-0. And Leo DeRocher is having a little conference with Lee Wells over there, as Maury Wills will come on the bat, and the Dodger fans, in their exuberance, have thrown oranges and cushions and anything that they could get their hands on onto the field. So Don Larson will be the Giants' fourth pitch of the inning. Sanford started, then Miller, then O'Dell, and Billy did not get anybody out in his time there, and if the score were to remain this way, 6-5 Los Angeles would be charged with the defeat. Boland remains in the Giant bullpen throwing. No matter what happens the rest of the way, Harry, they'll be talking about that bases clearing double for a long time here at Dodger Town.
You know, I can hardly hear what you said, Russ. There's bedlam here. It's 25,321, but it sounds like about 125,000. You know, one thing about it, the Dodger ball club now has some of their defensive stars out of the ballgame, and this thing is a long way from being over, so hang in there.
Here is Maury Wills with Lee Walls at third. Maury, one of the more accomplished punters around, and Don Larson set the pitch to him. Larson making his 47th appearance. Wills 0-3. Larson checking Walls at third. He throws to Wills, a strike called on the outside corner. Leo yells down to Maury Wills to ping one. And now Wills decides that he will back out. Is one strike to this left-handed batter. Larson throws. Will take this one outside. Boom. Six to five, the Dodgers lead. They have six runs and six hits. The Giants, five runs, eight hits in the bottom of the sixth. For the pitch to Maury Wills. Big Don Wise delivers. Will swings, fouls it back to the screen. Count it 1-2. This left-handed batting Maury Wills waiting in here. He is the ninth batter up for the Dodgers. It all started with a walk to Jim Gilliam. Wills choked up on the club. He just tried to meet the ball and hit it through or over the infield. Mays, Matty Alou, and Philippe Alou playing shallow. And here's Larson's pitch to Wills. There's a bounding ball. It's a fade at first base who throws into the plate. And Lee Wills is safe at the plate as Haller would spike and drop the ball. Haller got the spike across the back of the right hand. And he held on to the ball. Wells was going to be out, but he dropped the ball, and the Dodgers lead 7-5. That is a fielder's choice. Haller is going over to the dugout. Whether to be taken out of the game, but he is taking off the chest protector. And he's a rather angry young man as he leaves. That means he is removed from the game. No, he is not removed. They want to bring in John Orsino. They will take Haller out and bring in John Orsino because they will want to use Ed Bailey for later pinch hitting duty.
They made quite a play, Russ. I didn't think he had a chance at the plate, but as it turned out, the man would have been out. Haller, I think, has been charged with the air. A very excusable error because he was hurt on the play. He was spiked on the bare hand. got it right across the back of the hand. The Dodgers have scored seven times to lead now by a score of 7-5, and they have what the fans want to see. Maury Wills on at first base with Jim Gilliam coming up to bat, and Orsino will come in to catch for the San Francisco Giants. And it's a 7-5 score as baseball history being made here this afternoon at Dodger Stadium, with the Dodgers coming from behind to go ahead 7-5 with a 7-run sixth inning. We will check on the condition of Tom Haller. Secretary Eddie Brannick will give us the information as to how much of a laceration he suffered, and the loss of Tom could be a tough one, not only for tomorrow's game, but if the Giants get into the series. Up to Johnny Orsino to try to throw out Maury Wills if Maury has an idea of stealing, and he probably does. Here's a fellow that started it all, Jim Gilliam. Again, to echo Harry Carey's statement, that was a great play that Cepeda made. He put the ball right on the runner. Al Volek, veteran umpire that he is, waited to be sure before he called the play. Johnny Orsino will be making his 18th appearance in Giant uniform after working at Tacoma. Has a batting average of .255. And with this Dodger Stadium coming apart at the seams, the charge is being sounded. Gilliam is batting. Maury Wills at first base. And Larson picks up the roster bag and now the charge. Number 19, Gilliam hanging in as Maury Wills leads at first. Larson looks over there. Will dances away. There he goes. The ball swung on and missed. The throw to second base is way in the center field. Hayes up to the ball. Will tries for third. The throw to third. And Wills is out. Willie Mays throwing a perfect strike to third. Hey, maybe, Harry, that's one way maybe you get Maury Wills out.
I tell you, that Willie is something to see.
He charged that ball like a shortstop, feeling it on the run, and threw all in the same motion and had him easily at third base. And getting that second big out could be the big play of this inning, as Wills was on there with a good hitter up here in Gilliam. Gilliam swung at the pitch for strike one. Give Orsino an error on the throw. And Mays an assist for his perfect peg to Jim Davenport. And Larson sets the pitch to Jim Gilliam. And now Gilliam backs out just as Larson was ready to throw. Thanks for checking me on that, Harry. No error for Orsino. Here's a fastball for a called strike. Wills gets the steal. But since he was out at third, there was no advance, so no error for Orsino. Count is two strikes as Jim Gilliam stands in here. With two down, the base is empty. The Dodgers leading 7-5 as they're battling for their lives. If they don't win today, there's no tomorrow for them. Now the two-strike pitch for Larson to Gilliam is low for ball one and strike two.
Just Tom Haller's right forearm was cut. Several stitches will have to be taken. They don't know whether they'll be able to play tomorrow or not.
Well, it's certainly a tough break, but you have to accept those things in baseball. Now the one and two pitch. Gilliam sends a drive to right field. Alou is back waiting. Has it. And one of the longest innings that I've ever seen has finally come to an end as the Dodgers have a total of 7 runs. 1, 2, 3... four hits. There was one giant ever, and nobody left on. So as we move to the top of inning number 7, with Paradowski coming in, the score is 7-5.
Set to go to the top of inning number 8 and the middle of this giant batting order. Ron Paranowski will work to Jimmy Davenport, Willie Mays, and then Don Larson, our pinch batter. Davenport has singled in 4 trips. Facing Paranowski for the first time here. Ron came on to pitch the 7th inning, gave up 2 hits, but got out of trouble. But Jimmy Davenport's the batter. Giants trying to rally here. Led at one time 5-0. Trail now 7-5. Fastball is low to Davenport for ball 1. 1-0.
One ball and no strikes to the tie-up third baseman. Baranowski's 1-0 pitch. Line drive, base hit into left center field. Davenport cracks his second hit. Tommy Davis over to field, fires into second. The ball bounds away from Maury Wills. Davenport has him trap a single, and that'll bring up Willie Mays. Mays, hitless on the day, has flied out twice, is popped up, and is forced to run. So Willie Mays, the batter.
Well, as Baranowski's not exactly fooling him, that's three hits that belted off him that hit the ball hard.
Well, they need to back him up here in this inning as Mays waits. Pitch a slight foul into the seats to the right, strike one. Willie going for a fastball. Nothing in one to count. Nobody down. Davenport leading off with a single to center. Here in the top of inning number eight. Giants trail by two. 7-5. Stretch and the pitch. Outside, the ball off the glove of Camilli, but keeps it in front of him, and Davenport does not try to move up. Oh, Bowles is trotting in from the Giant bullpen. Don Larson due up next. Mays waiting with a 1-1 count. Davenport at first. Jimmy nailing a solid single to center. There's nobody down, and Paranowski takes the stretch. Here's the pitch to Mays. Curveball outside, ball two. Count is two balls and one strike to Willie Mays. Davenport on at first. Nobody down. The outfield deep for Willie. Baranowski stretches for the 2-1 pitch. Line drive. Base hit into left center field. Going over for it is Snyder. He cuts it off and Davenport has to hold at second. Mays blistered a solid liner to left. So the Giants have runners at first and second with nobody down.
I think there's going to be another pitcher brought in here, Lon. Boy, they're really hitting that ball. These last two innings against Paranowski, the Dodgers have been rather fortunate that you haven't scored. Right now, you have a situation, runners at first and second and nobody out. And undoubtedly, it's going to be a right-hander brought in. Can't tell who it is. I understand Stan Williams has been out there warming up along with Larry Sherry. I can make out Sherry from here. I haven't announced yet who the pitcher will be, but there's Jack O'Connor going out towards the left field bullpen.
Well, we've seen a variety of action out here this afternoon as Paranowski now goes one inning plus, retires nobody here in the eighth inning, gives up singles to Davenport and Mays, and manager Alvin Dark now will have to make a decision. He has Ed Bailey coming in from the bullpen, and he can have Ed swing for Don Larson and bring in a new pitcher, or he can go with Larson in this situation. Bailey is coming in. Jack Smith will come in to pitch for the Dodgers. So Jack Smith, who the Giants saw briefly yesterday, and a fellow that just came up at the end of the season, had a great minor league record in releasing. He pitched two innings yesterday, gave up one hit to the Giants. So possibly a little bit of a surprise here, Harry, in the fact that they're calling on Jack Smith with Sherry and Stan Williams out there.
A daring move by manager Walt Austin. Here's a boy just a couple of weeks ago was pitching for Omaha. And here in the heat of this playoff for the National League Championship, it's his responsibility to get the slugging Giants out.
Ed Bailey has selected a bat, and Ed, who has delivered some mighty big pinch hits for the Giants this year, will come up to swing a bat. Paranowski getting a hand as he leaves. Davenport at second, Mays at first, back-to-back singles with nobody down. And Ed Bailey bringing up a batting mark of only 225, but with 17 home runs and 44 RBIs.
You know, I every time I have to talk about Bailey, I bring in my favorite town that he hails from, Lon, Strawberry Plains, Tennessee.
Well, he was talking about these playoff games being on TV, and he said, well, they get the show about tomorrow morning. He said, they pipe it back there pretty close, but it takes two echoes to get it into Strawberry.
There was always one battery I wanted to see united on one ball club, and that was Vinegar Ben Mizell, who is from Vinegar Bend, Alabama, and Ed Bailey, who, of course, is from Strawberry Plains, Tennessee.
Someone might think you're putting them on. Nobody comes from Vinegar Bend and Strawberry Plain. So, Jack Smith, a right-hander, comes on to pitch, and Ed Bailey will be up to swing a bat.
Well, I think it's the first time in my broadcasting career I've seen a man turn gray during one ball game. Look at Chubb Phoenix.
I tell you, he had to practice going from shade to shade all this season. So Ed Bailey, who hit a home run on the final day of the season to give the Jazz their first run, he hit that off Dick Farrell. Had a single in yesterday's ballgame. Up here now to face Jack Smith, the right-hander, with Mays at first and Jimmy Davenport at second. The Giants trail by 2-7-5. They now have 12 hits to the Giants, and the Dodgers have 7. So Ed Bailey looking for that 13th hit in this situation, up here to swing a bat. Outfield deep for Ed. Bailey set to move in as Jack Smith makes his 8th appearance of the year. Davenport at second, Mays at first, nobody down. A stretch by Smith for the first pitch to Bailey. High, ball one, 1-0. 7-5, the Dodgers lead. The Giants threaten in the 8th. Bailey ready. As Smith looks in for the sign from Doug Camilli. Right-hander takes his stretch. Here's the pitch. Foul back, and the count is 1-1. And Ed had a good rip at that one, and a good pitch to rip at, too. So it's a 1-1 count to Bailey. Davenport at second, Mays at first, nobody out. Top of the 8th, the Giants trail 7-5. Bailey switching that bat up there, waiting for Smith's next delivery. The stretch, the runner's leading. Here's the pitch. Curveball, foul back, and it's 1-4. So it's a ball and 2 strikes to Bailey, trying to nail one in this situation. One and two count to Ed Bailey. Davenport at second, Mays at first. They got back-to-back singles off Perenowski, who retreated to the dugout as Jack Smith came on. Smith pitching to the left-hand batting Bailey. The right-hander takes his stretch for the 1-2 pitch. Line drive to center field, in there for a base hit. Coming around to score is Davenport. Mays streaking for third. He slides, and he's pulled out at third. The most unbelievable call you've ever seen. Mays is called out at third base by Jock O'Connell. Conlon called Mays safe first at third and then called him out. And Mays was on the bag when he was called out. So Willie Mays thrown out at third. Davenport scores. Harry?
Well, I can't understand his indecision for this reason. The ball wasn't juggled or anything at all. He had both hands down as if to call him safe and then as if he had a thought about something else and then waved them out. A real tough play against the Giants. That was a tying run with nobody out on third base. Instead, there's one run in. The Giants are one run behind, but there's one out. The tying run now is over at first base.
Boy, I'll tell you, that one hurt. And Orlando Cepeda is the batter. So Mays thrown out at third by Tommy Davis. Over at first, Ed Bailey. 3 solid singles by the Giants. And Orlando Cepeda out there. And Alvin Dark walking slowly back to the dugout. And Bailey will come out and Carl Bowles will go in to run for him. So Carl Bowles goes in as a runner, and Orlando Cepeda's up here. Barely over to talk to the pitcher, Jack Smith. So a big play here. Mays is thrown out at third on a very close call, to say the least. We're too far away from the play to second-guess the umpire, but as Harry Carey said, the indecision rendered was the strange part about it. Bowles leads from first. Cepeda takes high for a ball, 1-0. 7-6, the Giants trail by a run. 13 hits now as Ed Bailey delivers the single to drive in a run. A go to first base. Bowles was standing right on the bag. The Here's the next pitch. Cepeda fouls it back, and it's 1-1. One and one count to Cepeda. One man out, a runner at first. Carl Bowles running for Ed Bailey, who pinch hit a single. A looper into short right. Howard chasing in and drops the ball. Howard tried to make a one-handed catch and dropped the ball, and that would have been your tying run. As Bowles goes to second, and Cepeda's on at first, and it'll go as an error on the right fielder. And Philippe Alou is the batter. Right here, let's pause for station identification. This is the Golden West Radio Network.
Al Collins here. I can't tell you how many home runs we hit last year, but I can tell you how many tons of mustard.
KSFO in San Francisco.
Now Leo DeRocher is coming out to the mound, and there will be a pitching change. Philippe Alou is scheduled to bat, and I believe that, well, I won't call it. It's either Larry Cherry or Stan Williams. Stan Williams. Stan Williams will come on to pitch for the Dodgers. So they will use their fifth pitcher. The Giants have runners at first and second with one man out. Three singles and an error, but Mays called out at third place on a very, third base on a very close play. And right now, Harry Carey, that looms as the big play of this ballgame.
It does, but he's still in good position. There's nothing wrong with the Giants right now that a base hit wouldn't cure. You have runners at first and second with only one out, and Philippe Alou, due to be your hitter. It was a tough play to go against at that particular spot. Particularly tough because it looked like he had started to call him safe and change his mind.
So Stan Williams, the fifth pitcher, comes on. Taranowski went one inning plus. He has been charged with one run on a total of four hits. Smith goes one-third of an inning and gives up a hit to Ed Bailey. Cepeda is safe on the error by the right fielder Howard. And Stan Williams, hard-throwing right-hander, comes in to work for the Dodgers. So Williams, making his 39th appearance, won 13 and lost 12, with an end-run mark of 4.51.
Well, I tell you one thing that ought to help this Williams right about now. It's that time of the afternoon, and the shadows from the stand have engulfed the entire infield. He's pitching in the shadow, as it were, and of course he does throw hard. I imagine it might be a little bit difficult to follow that ball along about now around home plate. Although you'd never know that from the way these line drives have been booming in this inning. Three of them hit right on the nose.
And the Giants have been certainly nailing some solid drives in this inning. Ron Fairley is coming into the dugout. And now whether there's a possibility that Ron will be going out into right field or not in place of Frank Howard. Howard came in on Cepeda's ball and was looking into the sun, which is right over the rim of the stadium. There's another factor for the right fielder and the center fielder, that over this high stand now, the sun is right in the fielder's eyes. Ron Fairley isn't at first base. And time is being called as Alou stepped in. So Fairley is talking to Walt Olson. Now, what the situation is going to be, Fairley now going back to first base, so the Dodgers will remain the same. So Philippe Alou has doubled, singled, struck out, and grounded out of the batter. The Giants trail by a run, 7-6, and Carl Bowles at second. Cepeda at first, with one man out. Both ball clubs running out of changes for pinch hitters. So Alou up here to face right-hander Stan Williams. Williams takes the stretch. Here's the first pitch to Alou outside with a fastball, ball one. Williams really hummed it. 1-0 the count. Philippe Alou waiting. Cepeda at first, Bowles at second. Giants trail by a run, 7-6. Stretched by Williams, and the next hit. Swung on and missed, 1-1. The pad at first, Bowles at second, a 1-1 count on a low. The Giants trail by a run, 7-6. Williams nods yes, takes the stretch. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Inside with a fastball, ball two. 2-1. John Orsino due to bat next. Williams getting the sign from Doug Camilli. Taking a long look. Giants had 5 hits over the last 2 innings. They've made a payoff and only 1 run so far. Here's the stretch and the next pitch. Ball 3 outside. It's 3-1. Three balls and a strike. So Felipe Alou waits. 3-1 count. Now Alou backs away to get a handful of dirt. 3-1 count on him. Bowles at second. Zepeda at first. One man out. A run in. The Giants fail by 1-7-6. Top of the 8th inning. Alou waiting for San Williams' 3-1 delivery. The right-hander takes his stretch. The runners lead. Here's the pitch. Ball 4. He walked him and they loaded up. And the batter will be John Orsino. So the tying run moves to third with one out. John Orsino singled his first time up at the batter. Bowles at third. Zepeda at second. Alou at first. And Zepeda calling time wants to get rid of his batting helmet at second base. So the Giants have the bases loaded with one out. Trailing by a run, 7-6 here in the top of the 8th. Giants led at one time, 5-0. The Dodgers scored 7 times in the bottom of inning number 6. John Orsino waiting. Bowles at third. Zepeda at second. Alou at first. Dan Williams checking John Orsino now for the first pitch. The Dodgers play their infield back, double play deep. Williams relaxes on the mound for a moment, now ready. And time is called. Outfield around to the left for Orsino and deep. Bowles bluffs down the line. The pitch to Orsino. A high drive hit to left center field. That'll score the run. Tommy Davis going back near the wall. And right in front of the wall makes the catch. Bowles streaks in to score. Zepeda goes to third. And Felipe Alou tags up and goes to second. And this one is tied. Orsino almost rode one out of here. Harry, you can say that again. That boy hit that ball about 390 feet. And Tommy Davis was right near the fence when he grabbed it. It's a high fastball and he had good wood on it. So she's all tied up again, Ron. Well, what an afternoon as Orsino drives a long fly to left center field and just about got that one far enough to get it off the wall or into the seat. And Hansen's on the mound. Jose Pagan is the batter. Harvey Keene follows Pagan. Two men down. Zepeda went to third. Alou to second. The Giants tied here at 7-7. Pagan has popped up, has singled to short, has doubled, and has singled to left. So he's 3-for-4.
Hasn't done a thing until he gets that fourth hit right here.
That's right. So they, 2 men out. Zepeda bluffing down in the line of third. Alou leading off at second. Here's Williams' windup. The pitch to the gun. Low for a ball, 1-0. One ball, no strike. One and nothing to Pagan. Two down. Zepeda at third. Alou at second. 7-7 ball game. Top of the 8th inning. Williams looks over his shoulder at Alou leading. Zepeda bluffs down the line. Here's the pitch to Pagan. Low, ball 2. 2-0. 2 balls and no strikes, and Jose backs away and checks with Whitey Lockman. 2 balls, no strikes. Two and nothing to Pagan. Alou at second, Zepeda at third. 2 men out, 2 runs in. The Giants and Dodgers tied at 7-7, top of the 8th. Well, Randall bluffing again. Here's the 2-0 pitch. A bounder to third. Gilliam charges. His throw is in time. That's all for the time. So here in the eighth, 2 runs on 3 hits. 1 Dodger error and 2 runners left on. We go to the bottom of the eighth and it's tied up at 7-7. We go to the bottom of the ninth, all tied up at 7-7, and this is a sudden death situation. Right here, let's pause for station identification. This is the Golden West Radio.
This is Del Courtney. Whether fasting or feasting, keep my music on your lunchtime menu on
KSFO.
Well, the top of the batting order in the ninth for the Dodgers. Score tied at 7-7. Maury Wills, Jim Gilliam. And then Duke Snider. Bolin, set to work. As a sudden death now, the bottom of the ninth, tied at 7-7. Here is Bolin's windup, and the pitch to Wills. Inside, almost hitting ball one. 1-0, Davenport up on the edge of the grass. The rest of the infield shortened. Outfield shallow. Wills batting left-handed against Bob Bolin. And Bob Wines, here's a 1-0 pitch. Ball two outside. Boy, this is one guy you don't want to walk and get off. Two balls, no strikes. And the windup for the 2-0 pitch. Strike call, fastball on the inside. It's 2-1. 2 balls and a strike. Maury Wells leading off the ninth for the Dodgers. Then Gilliam and Snider. All three to bat left-handed against Bob Bolin. Bolin winds for the 2-1 pitch to Maury Wells. Slice foul. Strike two. 2-2. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Two-two count to Maury Wells leading off against Bob Bolin here in the bottom of the ninth. And here's Bob's windup, the 2-2 pitch. Foul ball into the seats, and it stays at 2-2. The Giants led 1-0 after 2, led 5-0 after 6, or after 5.5, rather. Then the Dodgers scored 7 times the bottom of the 6 to take a 7-5 lead. The Giants got 2 in the 8th to tie it. All up to Stan Williams and Bob Bolin now. They're the pitcher of record. 2-2 count to Wells. High, ball 3. Full count, 3-2 to Maury Wells. Bolin with the target now for Morosino. 3-2 pitch. Walked him, and boy, that was a close pitch. Well, the Dodgers have a runner on there. Alvin Dark has decided to go to the bullpen, and he'll call on Dick LeMay to come in. So Bolin walks Wells to lead off here in the ninth, and manager Alvin Dark will call on Dick LeMay to make his ninth appearance of the year. He's 1-0 and lost 1. So, Dick LeMay will be called in.
I imagine one of the big factors of making this move, Lon, is Maury Wills' base-stealing ability, and Bob Bolin isn't too good at holding a man close, and he wants a left-hander in there who can keep Wills as honest as possible to keep him.
And that'll mean that Jim Gilliam will switch around and bat right-handed. Duke Snider is slated to follow Gilliam. Here to work in the ninth inning, second game of the playoffs, Giants and Dodgers tied at 7-7. And Maury Wells at first with nobody out. Al Barlick signals to LeMay. He has 2 more warm-up tosses. LeMay with a good forkball. He has to keep his pitches down low to be effective. Question here whether the Dodgers will be having Gilliam sacrificed or giving Maury Wills a pitcher so to steal off. So Gilliam moves in against Dick LeMay. Dick takes the stretch. Wills leads, and LeMay lobbed the toss over there. Wills back in. Stretch, another go, and once more Wills is back. LeMay, you can bet, under instructions to keep throwing over there to keep Maury Wills close. Wills has that fantastic knack of being able to get the lead. And again, LeMay goes to first base. He's not thrown to the plate yet. He's thrown three times to first. Gilliam batting right-handed against LeMay. Davenport crowded up at third. LeMay takes his stretch. Wills leads off, and LeMay throws again to first base. By LeMay. And the pitch to the plate. Wills was going back to second, and the ball is foul. Boy, if that one had stayed fair, Orsino has a chance to get Wills at second base, as LeMay had Wills going back to the bag when he delivered to the plate.
I'm convinced more than ever that's the primary purpose for making the move when Alvin Dark did. He needs a pitcher out there that can hold Wills close.
Now Orsino's going out to talk to LeMay. A one strike count on Gilliam. That was just a short bunt down the first baseline. Orsino tried to grab it before it went foul and throw to second. But it trickled foul, so it's a one-strike count on Gilliam. Wills still at first base. LeMay looking in now for the sign for the one-strike pitch to Gilliam. There's the stretch to go to first, and Wills back in. So LeMay concentrating on keeping Wills close. Takes his stretch. Goes again to first base, and not in time. The fans booing LeMay's effort to keep Wills pinned there at first. Dick takes the stretch, looks at first, comes to the plate, and the pitch is low for a ball. One and one.
You got to be careful with this Gilliam. He can switch off that bunt any time. He handles that bat real well, and he's liable to try to hit through that moving infield.
So it's a one and one count now as Maury Wills moves off at first base. Nobody down. 7-7 ball game. LeMay comes to the plate. Ball two. 2-1. So LeMay behind on the count. 2-1 to Gilliam, and Gilliam looks now to Leo DeRocher. Throwing in the bullpen. Here's McCormick. Now another go to first by LeMay. Not in time. Right-hander. Looks almost like Bob Garibaldi, but it's Gaylord Perry, I guess. Gaylord Perry and Mike McCormick. Here's the pitch to Gilliam. He takes ball three outside. 3-1. So LeMay in danger of walking Gilliam and putting runners at first and second here. Orsino goes out to talk to it. 3-1 count to Jim Gilliam. Runner at first, nobody out. LeMay having his problem getting the ball over the plate. There's the stretch for the 3-1. Ball four, and Orsino is hopping now. So the runners at first and second. Now, Jim Snyder was going to bat. He goes back to the dugout. Orsino motioning to the giant dugout. That was a good pitch. And we'll see who comes on now to bat for Duke Snyder. Well, with runners at first and second, the Dodgers have all sorts of possibilities, of course. They can go for the sacrifice to move the runners along to second and third. For a fly ball or a squeeze bunt or anything could score, or a stolen base, as Maury Wills has stolen home before. Still, the Dodgers have not made a move. Snyder has taken off his batting helmet, so we'll have a batter for him. Waldolph's been delaying to see what manager Alvin Dark is going to do, if anything. Giants are getting down in that part of the batting order where the Dodgers can throw some power at them. Darryl Spencer will come out. So Darryl Spencer will bat here for Duke Snider. Darryl with a batting mark of 236. And manager Alvin Dark, with a change made, is going to his bullpen again. And they still have Tim Harkness on the bench, a left-hand batter to the Dodgers. It looks like Gaylord Perry is going to be called in for the Giants. So this will be the seventh Giant pitcher. Runners at first and second. Nobody out here in the ninth. Gaylord Perry comes in, a right-hander to pitch, and Darryl Spencer goes back to the dugout for the Dodgers. This ball game now has broken the record, Harry, for a nine-inning contest. It was 4 minutes and 4 seconds, the Giants and the Braves, and we've now gone 4 minutes and, 4 hours and 4 minutes. I'll get it right soon. Now gone 4 hours and 7 minutes unofficially.
And it's not over yet.
So with first and second occupied and nobody down, young Gaylord Perry marches to the mound for the Giants. Darryl Spencer gone back in the dugout. Now he comes back out in the on-deck circle. Dick LeMay leaves after giving up a walk to Jim Gilliam. So Boland walked Wills. LeMay walked Gilliam. And Gaylord Perry is out to do the pitching. 7-7 ball game in the bottom of the ninth. Two runners on and nobody out. Possibility here that the umpires might ask for the lights to be turned on, as the shadows have just about completely covered the playing field. Orsino comes back behind the plate. Tied at 7-7 in the bottom of the ninth. Maury Wills at second. Jim Gilliam at first and nobody out. And Gaylord Perry comes in to do the firing for the Giants. Perry making his 13th trip. He's won three and lost one. Has an earned run mark of 5.27.
Both these managers, Juan, certainly aren't afraid to risk the outcome of the game on the young shoulders of rookie pitchers. It's really right up to Gaylord Perry now, just as it was to young Jack Smith for the Dodgers a little earlier in this ballgame.
So Perry warms up and will have to pitch to Darryl Spencer with Tommy Davis in the on-deck circle. Well, certainly in this first year, we're happy to have had Chevron dealers and standard stations with us all year long, and I don't think they could have asked for a more exciting year to be associated with the Giant broadcast. Gone almost as far as you can go. The Giants won the first game. This one tied at 7-7, and Darryl Spencer moves in. The Giants figure that Spencer will be trying to bunt. Wells at second. Gilliam at first. Nobody out. Gaylord Perry to pitch to Darryl Spencer, batting for Duke Snider. Davenport trotted up at third. He'd like to anchor if he could to get the fourth at third base. Pagan trying to keep Wills close at second. And he's giving up that entire hole. Now Pagan moves over. A punt back to the mound. Perry strikes the ball. He had him stand at third base, but didn't throw. Gaylord Perry had him stand at third base, but didn't throw. He threw to first. It was a play where the first baseman Davenport came charging towards the plate. That apparently confused Perry, who must have forgotten that play was set up. The shortstop, Pagan, was over the cover third base.
And when Perry picked the bunt up, he had a cinch play at third, but seeing Davenport, he must have forgotten that Pagan was over there covering. He had him dead at third base and didn't throw. He turned and looked. Pagan was there. It was a bunt right back to the mound. And then finally turned and threw to first base to get Spencer. Tommy Davis was up near, but I rather doubt if Tommy gets a chance to swing a bat. Ron Fairley in the on-deck circle. Now you've got a situation, a right-hand batter up here. Ron Fairley, a left-hand batter in the on-deck circle, first base open. Gaylord Perry took a look and then did not throw. These are the kind of situations, Ron, that make veterans out of rookies in a hurry. And I believe we're going to have a pitching change right now. Mike McCormick is going to be called in. There's no doubt that Tommy Davis is going to be intentionally passed, which will allow McCormick to pitch to Ron Fairley. The Dodgers might risk a change for Fairley, although they've just about run out of manpower. Also, they have Norm Sherry still available. And then if they can get by Fairley, the Giants then have a right-hander out there to pitch to Howard.
Jim Duffalo is throwing in the bullpen now for the Giants. So McCormick becomes the eighth Giant pitcher. Mike McCormick walking on to become the eighth Giant pitcher. One out, runners at second and third for the Dodgers.
Ron, we might have tied a record for most pitchers used in a nine-inning ballgame. I think it's either eight or nine. And we've the Giants have used eight. Yeah, that was a particularly unfortunate development because the Giants had set up that play with Davenport charging in for the bunt. The idea being that if the ball were bunted by the mound, Davenport could still see a whirl and throw to third. As Davenport broke for the plate, Pagan broke for third base. And unfortunately, young Perry was taken more by surprise, I guess, than even the Dodgers at the way the play developed.
So Gaylord Perry elected to go to first with his throw. He got Spencer all right. But the Dodgers moved runners up to second and third. Mike McCormick has come on. He'll loosen up. Tommy Davis is the batter, but I'm just about rest assured that Tommy Davis won't be swinging a bat. First base open. So two walks in the inning and a sacrifice to put runners to second and third. Harry Carey taking a little red book of baseball to check on the record for pitchers used in the ballgame. The Giants now with their eighth pitcher in there. The Dodgers have used two, three, four, five pitchers. 7-7 ball game in the bottom of the ninth. Dodgers do not have a hit in this inning, but they have Gilliam at second and Maury Wills at third. In a situation where the Giants will have to play their outfield shallow when they first batter that they're going to let swing comes up there. They have to play shallow enough so they can cut off a line drive base hit, and there's no sense in playing deep because the runner could tag and score on a deep fly ball anyway. So Tommy Davis up here, but Tommy won't get to swing the bat. As McCormick will put him on at first base. The fans will boo this as soon as they see the Giants walking. There's ball one outside. There is ball two. Ball three. And they'll soon be loaded up. Ball four. So Davis goes to first base. The base is loaded by walks, and Ron Fairley, who singled his last time up, is the batter. Giants will have to play the outfield shallow, play the infield in, with one out, and the winning run at third base. Left-hander Mike McCormick to face left-hander Ron Fairley. Tommy Davis at first, Gilliam at second, Maury Wills at third, and of course the important one is Maury Wills at third base. This is the time you'd like to see a one-hopper back to the mound. Now time called as McCormick started the pitch. Maury Wills wants to tie his shoelace, and John Orsino takes that opportunity to run out and talk to McCormick. Thank you.
fairly. Up here now, the giant infield in, the outfield shallow. Maury Wells at third, Jim Gilliam at second. McCormick looking in for the sign for the first pitch to Fairley. There's the stretch by McCormick. And the pitch. Strike call, the fastball in there, nothing in one. Nothing in one count to Ron Fairley. McCormick looks the runner at third. Maury Wells looking in now for the sign. McCormick pitching from a stretch position to try to keep Wells close to third. Here's the pitch to Fairley. Strike two call to third ball. Nothing in two to Ron Fairley. Two to Fairley. One out, bases loaded. McCormick studying the side now for Marcino. Mike taking his stretch. Look at third. Here's the pitch. A fly ball to short center. Mays makes the catch. Here comes Wells to the plate. Here comes the throw. And it's not in front. Questioning John O'Connell whether the runner left third too soon, and he says no.